John and Max are going to bring us our readings, and then Lisa's going to come and speak to us.
The first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. This fills us with a living hope, and so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for his people. He keeps them for you in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away. They are for you, who through faith are kept safe by God's power, for the salvation which is ready to be revealed at the end of time. Be glad about this, even though it may now be necessary for you to be sad for a while, because of the many kinds of trials you suffer. Their purpose is to prove that your faith is genuine. Even gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire. And so your faith, which is much more precious than gold, must also be tested, so that it may endure. Then you will receive praise and glory and honour on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. You love him, although you have not seen him, and you believe in him, although you do not now see him. So you rejoice with a great and glorious joy which words cannot express, because you are receiving the salvation of your souls, which is the purpose of your faith in him.
The second reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?" In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles, which are not written down in this book. But they have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through your faith in him, you may have life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. And we thank you for those truths that Jesus is alive. And Lord, as we come to you this morning, just as we are, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us. Whatever's been happening in our lives, however we are feeling, Lord, please come and meet with us. And by your Spirit, inspire us, comfort us, encourage us, and challenge us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this morning, on Easter Sunday morning, we are here to celebrate something that many people today would say is impossible. Can a dead man really come back to life? Well, with Jesus, anything is possible. Because Jesus was more than a man, he was the Son of God. And if God created the world and made everything in it, then anything is possible for him to do within this world. As we celebrate our risen Saviour this morning, our focus is on just two of the encounters that people had with the risen Jesus. And these encounters help us to understand the reality of the resurrection. You know, we're not here today because of a myth or a fairy tale. Today we are celebrating a historical event. It's an event that happened in real time. John tells us it was late on the Sunday evening. That was the same Sunday that Mary Magdalene had met Jesus earlier, and just a couple of days after the Passover festival. It happened to real people. John tells us who was there and who wasn't there. And it happened in a very real way. John describes exactly what people saw, how they felt, what they said. These were real people experiencing real emotions and personally encountering the risen Jesus. And these encounters remind us that Jesus overcame death, something which is seemingly impossible, but which God can make possible because his power is beyond this world. The Gospels are testimonies of eyewitnesses, people recalling their own experiences and writing them down so that we can understand the reality of the resurrection. The Gospels are reliable sources. They're first century writings composed within a few years of the events that they described. And so we can believe in what they say. But if that wasn't enough for us, well, then there are millions of other testimonies that speak of people's experiences of meeting Jesus, not in the same way that the disciples did in a locked room, but still personally today. Today, we are celebrating that Jesus is risen. He is alive. And the power of God that triumphed over death is still the power of God that it is at work in our world today. But even though we know that is true, believing, having faith, isn't always easy. In fact, faith has been described as a battle with unbelief. That battle takes different forms. At times we feel like faith will always win. But at other times, we feel like it's a painful defeat. And Thomas is just one person who can relate to that agonizing battle. Most believers experience doubt at various times in their life. And I think, in a way, Thomas has got a bit of an unfair reputation. Doubting Thomas, that's what we always say. Now, the other disciples had already seen Jesus with their own eyes. They had had their proof. But Thomas wasn't there. Is it wrong that he wanted a special encounter himself? You know, it wasn't as if his life was always filled with doubt. If you look at other encounters in the Gospel where Thomas is mentioned, you can see that Thomas was a very loyal disciple. In fact, he was one that was prepared to travel with Jesus and willing to even die with him. You can read in John chapter 11 his response. But he was also someone who needed to be convinced in his own mind before he would act. Having witnessed the crucifixion, you can imagine Thomas withdrawing into his pain and his grief, isolating himself as he struggled to come to terms with what had just happened. You know, maybe that was even why he wasn't with the disciples on that first evening when Jesus appeared to them. Even though he may have heard from Mary Magdalene that she'd seen Jesus, that he was alive, the truth was he had seen Jesus crucified. He had seen his teacher, his friend, nailed to a cross and left to die. And the reality of the cross had overwhelmed him. despite what he had seen and heard from Jesus in those years that they travelled together, despite what he may be hearing now, all he could think of was that Jesus had died. He may have longed to believe that Jesus was alive, but he would need a lot more proof to convince him. And so John tells us in verse 25 that Thomas said, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." So often that is the way for us when we are wrestling with unbelief. We want things to be different, but all we can see is what is there in front of us. And doubts often come when, like Thomas, we experience something that contradicts everything that we've ever known or believed before. We find ourselves asking questions like, how can God love me if he has allowed this to happen? How can God be all-powerful if he couldn't stop this? Despite what we've seen and we've heard, the experience we've just had is so big, it drowns out all the other realities, including the promises of God and the truths of his word. Maybe, like Thomas, our answer to those doubts is to isolate ourselves, to stay away from friends, from home group, from church, whilst we wrestle with things on our own. But so often isolation just makes doubts grow stronger. And as Thomas found, withdrawing can sometimes mean missing out on a significant encounter with Jesus. You know, it's not wrong to experience doubts in life. Doubt is not a sin that we need to feel ashamed of or find forgiveness for. Doubt is not a sign of failure or of weakness. As Thomas shows us, even though we may have walked and talked with Jesus for years, we can find that at times we are wrestling with unbelief. But God is big enough to handle all of our questions and our doubts. And his love for us is so encompassing that even in the midst of those doubts, Jesus can meet us. John tells us that for the second time, the disciples were together in a room that was locked. And Jesus came in and stood among them. That's how encompassing Jesus' love is. Even four walls and a locked door couldn't keep him away. And this time, Thomas was there. Now he had seen Jesus with his own eyes. It was true. Jesus was risen from the dead, and Thomas had encountered him. Jesus was alive. Now, you would think that that would be enough in itself. But Jesus so longs to meet us in our doubts that he goes even further than this. He turned to Thomas and he said, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then stretch out your hand and put it in my side." Jesus knew those doubts that Thomas had. He was clearly very aware of exactly word for word what Thomas had said. And he met Thomas right in the middle of those doubts, providing everything that he needed. Jesus' actions remind me here of what the psalmist experienced when he declared, "Where can I get away from your presence? If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the furthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me." The Bible shows us time and again how God is constantly reaching out to us. And the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate way that God reaches out in love to the world. His love for us is so strong that he will not leave us. And even in the midst of darkness and unbelief, Jesus will come to find us, stepping through the walls of fear, pain, doubt, and adversity that may have built up around us, just like he stepped through those walls of that locked room to meet with Thomas and the other disciples. We can't hide our doubts from God, and we don't need to either, because Jesus knows what we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're questioning, just like he knew what Thomas had said. And he wants to meet us right where we are, in the midst of those doubts, and enable us to look to him again. In the end, Thomas didn't need to touch Jesus' scars like he said he would. His encounter with the risen Saviour was enough. And as he met with Jesus, he was challenged to change. Jesus said to Thomas, "Stop your doubting and believe." In fact, the Greek translation of those words is literally, "Do not become unbelieving, but believing." Thomas is being challenged to renew his confidence in Jesus. Now that he'd personally encountered him alive, it was time to hold on to him in faith. And that's exactly what Thomas does, answering Jesus with his own confession of faith. "My Lord and my God," he responds. This was a significant moment in Thomas's life. Through these words, Thomas both declared his faith in Jesus as God, and also entrusted his life to Jesus, affirming him as his Lord. You know, this is also the first time in John's Gospel that somebody equates Jesus to be God, a truth that John had been building towards all the way through his book. And John concludes nicely on Thomas's experience at the end of this chapter, saying that actually this was the whole purpose of his book. John's desire is that those reading his book many years later would be able to see that Jesus is the Son of God and respond by having faith in him. For Thomas, his declaration of faith transformed his life. Thomas continued to respond to Jesus in faith. He helped to establish the church in Jerusalem, but he also shared the gospel further afield. And it's widely believed that Thomas travelled as far as India to take the gospel. And eventually in India, he lost his life for the gospel. His renewed confidence in Jesus would have served him well on his travels. But I don't think that necessarily meant it would be the end of his questions or his doubts. Think for a moment about the other disciples. They first encountered Jesus in a locked room 7 days earlier. John tells us at that moment they were filled with joy. And Jesus breathed on them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." 7 days later, where did Jesus find them? Behind locked doors and hidden away from the world. The disciples proved to us that sometimes it doesn't take long for more questions to arise, for more fear to set in, for the power of the resurrection to be diminished in our lives. But Jesus is abundant in his grace, and Jesus will continually reach out to us, just as he did to the disciples and to Thomas. This morning, as we see the resurrection through the eyes of Thomas, Jesus is calling us to battle through our doubts and to find a renewed confidence in him. We might feel like our experiences and feelings have surrounded us so much that we cannot see beyond them. But Jesus can walk through those walls to meet us in our doubts. If you haven't shared those questions, disappointments, struggles, and hurts with him already, I encourage you to do so today. After all, Jesus already knows what is on your mind and on your heart. Clearly today, our experience of meeting with Jesus is very different to the experience that Thomas had in seeing Jesus face to face. But it is no less real. We've just seen Jesus can walk through walls. We've seen he can listen to in on conversations and know how people feel. We've seen that he can rise to life after being crucified. Nothing is beyond his power. So of course we can personally encounter the risen Jesus today. That's why he said to Thomas in verse 29, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?" Today, Jesus still wants to meet with us. However we feel, whatever our questions and doubts, he wants to meet us so that we can renew our confidence in him and we can be challenged to have faith. And that is precisely how John ends this chapter in his book, inviting every one of us to have faith in Jesus. In verse 31, John writes, "But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life." And so on this Easter Sunday morning, let us consider that invitation from John. Are we, like Thomas, ready to encounter Jesus personally, even with our questions and our doubts? Are we ready to acknowledge that Jesus is God, despite the things that we don't understand? Are we prepared to entrust our life to him as our Lord and Saviour, even with the pain, the disappointments, the hopes and the dreams? Are we this Easter Sunday prepared to have faith in Jesus, to believe in him for the impossible, and commit to follow him? Let's take a moment of silence to reflect on God's word to us, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the truth of your word this morning. And thank you that nothing is impossible with you. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is alive and risen, and in him we can have new life, new hope, and new strength for the days ahead. Lord, this morning, as we look to you, some of us are coming to you for the first time and beginning to glimpse that you are God, that you are our Saviour. Lord, for those of us who are seeing you as Lord for the first time, God, help us to step out in faith and step towards you to receive your forgiveness and to receive the new life that you want us to have. And Lord, this morning some of us are coming here having had faith perhaps for many years, but with doubts and questions surrounding us. And the walls have built up around us, and we've begun to lose sight of you as our God and the power that you have. Lord Jesus, we pray that today you will walk through those walls and meet with us. Help us to look into your eyes and entrust our lives to you again. And Lord, give us comfort and strength through the difficulties. And walk with us into the light. And Lord, this morning, some of us are believing in you for the impossible. Help us to hold on to you in faith, to follow you wherever you might call us, and to continue to surrender our lives to you as our Saviour and our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.